T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Rich is wrapping up his vacation. Andy Hart, WEEI.com. Nick Cattles, who works on the station, is also here. And we have yet to talk about the Patriots. Bill Belichick, I saw on his Zoom session with the media tape, like, I think he smiled, Andy. Somebody captured it in a screen grab.
Oh, boy.
I saw him smile at some point.
That is not good. Hasn't smiled for 20 years, and they were pretty damn good football team.
Why would he screw it up
now? Why are we starting now?
So he also had some ominous things to say, and by the way, I think he's right, about rookies in the National Football League, and especially within the Patriots organization. And the fact of the matter is, through no fault of anybody, it's the world we're living in right now. If you're a rookie coming into the National Football League, you were kind of up against it here.
Yes, this probably should be a lost year for some rookies, yeah, or a lot of rookies, except for the Patriots in particular. I'm not sure they can afford for this to be a lost year with guys like Kyle Duggar, Josh Uche, Anfernee Jennings, their kick. I mean, they have a lot of young players that are probably going to be thrust into roles, you know, with some importance to them. So I don't feel great about that.
So let's hear what Belichick said this morning about rookies, especially with the Patriots.
Yeah, well, I think all of our rookies have worked extremely hard. I mean, they're in deep water, in turbulent water, and it's going to get rougher just in terms of the volume and the level of competition and, you know, becoming a professional athlete and, you know, the full day and the consecutive days that get strung together with very high demands, both physically, mentally, and rest and recovery and all that. So, you know, I think all the guys are adjusting to it. They're all working hard at it. It's a really hard-working group. They haven't been any problem. They're just trying to do the best they can, but they're swimming. They're in deep water, and, you know, their eyes get opened every day as we, you know, move, you know, up in the process, and we're still a long way from, you know, anything close to real football, but we're doing more now than we did before. So, you know, each day is an acclimation day and an adjustment day for them. And I think they're just trying to, you know, keep their head above water and try to, you know, swim or paddle in the right direction, knowing that they're, you know, not really able to keep up, but they're doing the best they can.
Bill sounds like he knows it's Shark Week on Discovery.
Dale, yeah, right? Dale, who's the best assistant coach that Bill Belichick's ever had?
Oh, Dante.
Okay. I'm going to throw out a counter to Bill's, which could be laying the foundation for a little bit of an excuse why the rookies aren't playing or contributing, whatever.
Right, right.
Dante liked to say, and he said it to me a number of times personally, if you ever complain to him, don't tell me how rough the water is, just put the boat in. Right? I mean, yeah, that's the reality with these guys, and I've heard various coaches say it
like
differently.
Doesn't it sound like Bill's trying to take some of the pressure off the rookies, the expectations of fans, and if they go out and perform above expectations, great, that's great. But Bill said they're in deep water, they're treading water here.
Right, and, you know, the old Parcells, he's like a ball in tall grass right now. He's lost. I mean, this isn't anything new for rookies, but I'm just looking at the makeup of this roster,
right,
and if you're telling me already, now, whether it's excuse-making or maybe laying the foundation to, like, temper expectations, but if you tell me Kyle Duggar can't play, and if you tell me Josh Uche is lost and Anfernee Jennings is lost, I have concerns about the defense, right? I think those guys are going to be called on to maybe step on the field and play real football in less than a month.
Yeah, this is not the year that you have to say, all right, we'll just let the rookies be rookies, and if they can't find their level this year, well, there's always next year.
Right.
There's not a lot of wiggle room for that this season. And I do think it would be good advice for any Patriots fan out there, and, you know, take it from me, I mean, if it matters. But, you know, the advice that I would give to really any football fan this year is have reasonable expectations. Like, understand the situation that these guys have been parachuted into. It is very difficult. No rookie minicamp, no full camp, putting pads on in the middle of August, you know, no preseason to get used to the speed of the game that they always talk about, not even joint practices. So I think we have to have reasonable expectations. With that said, guys, if somebody goes out there and plays well, let's say like a Kyle Duggar, if he goes out there and plays well early, I do take more from that, because that tells me, wow, this guy dealt with all of those circumstances, and he was definitely in the deep end, as Belichick is saying, but he was able to contribute to this team with everything surrounding him. I would take more out of that, given, you know, especially the level of play he came from. So there could be a silver lining if you find some of these rookies playing significant enough to contribute to the team. I think that speaks volumes for their future at this level.
I have limited expectations for the Patriots anyway. They were a bit elevated once Cam Newton was signed. And by the way Belichick is playing this quarterback thing, you would think all four of the quarterbacks are in the running to be the starter for this team.
Brian Lewerke, step right up.
Yeah, you know, everybody's equal here. And yeah, okay, fine. We know who the starting quarterback is going to be, assuming he's healthy. And we all know it, he wears number one on his jersey. My expectations got elevated from losing the AFC East to Buffalo to winning the AFC East again. But in a best-case scenario for the Patriots, you're looking at, what, 10, 11 wins?
Yes. I would say if everything goes right, 11 is probably the ceiling. Uh-oh. Shime just grabbed 12. His microphone. Oh, you're such a homer.
If everything goes right.
Well, actually, let me rephrase that. If everything literally goes right, then PFF New England is right, and they will be battling
all right,
for a perfect season.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No, but if literally everything went right, I mean, if we're going to be literal.
Even if Cam Newton is an MVP, they're not winning 16 games.
What if Damian Harris is, oh my God, a 1,500-yard rusher,
and Nikhil Harry
is a 1,500-yard receiver, and Devin Asiasi, Gronk, who the bleep is Gronk? Asiasi's better, and Stephon Gilmore said, oh, you thought that was good a year ago? Watch this. If that all comes out perfectly, 16-0, put me on the train. Now, if that happens,
yeah, you keep that train in
the world
in
has come
Don't
to an end
it.
Or something, and all this fighting I'm doing on Twitter has, you know, broken the universe.
Look, I think that under the circumstances, the Patriots may be better positioned than many teams to at least not have a disaster to start the season, just because of the strength of the coaching staff, and I know there have been some departures. But you've still got, in my opinion, the greatest head coach of all time running things here. All accounts are that they've got a system in place that everybody's very comfortable with. There are going to be some places where it's not going to start well at all.
Yes.
And you can overcome that.
And whatever you could tell me any scenario, whether it's the league, the schedule, the rules changes, the finances. I want Bill Belichick, right? Like, yes. I've always heard, oh, you know, in the cap era, the non-cap era, I think Bill would be fine. Whatever era you want to put him in, I think he would be one of the smartest men in the league at the time, and he would look at all the information and come up with some plan to have a good football team. The one concern I have, and I've brought this up to you guys, I like this as a year where talent reigns supreme, where especially early in the year.
But you've lost some big-time talent, too.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. So that's why I have concern. I'd kind of like to be the Chiefs, which goes without saying. They're the champions. Yeah. They have the best quarterback. But teams like that where you kind of know what your weapons are, you kind of know what your quarterback and your offense is, I just think they may be a little bit ahead for a while. Like, we had Curran on last week, and he said, you know, this team might not hit its stride till November 1st. And I see Shime furiously going to get the audio of that. But if that happens, well, November 1st, there's a long time between September 13th and November 1st where you're really asking Bill to cull it together there. So I am
very... And the Patriots have always kind of treated the first four games of the regular season like an extension of the preseason.
Yeah, let's hear.
I mean, even if you look, sometimes they say, you know, Thanksgiving is when Belichick really feels like the team's going to kick it into gear and you finally know who your team is. I think that should be stressed even more this season, where the first 4 weeks, even 6 weeks, there's going to be a lot of funkiness to this product. I mean, we talk about not just on the field with the players, but I think there's a lot of questions with the officiating. You know, there might not be full crews out there. Guys are geographically.
They had a remarkably low number of officials opt out and no referees. They had five officials opt out, which shocked me. I thought it would be a much higher number.
Pretty good side gig to opt out of.
It is. But we still don't know, you know, week to week what this thing will do, right? So we don't know how that will look. And, you know, I think to go off of Andy's point, continuity, not just talent, but continuity is going to be huge. Like not only having a talented quarterback, but having that relationship between quarterback, head coach, and offensive coordinator is huge. So teams that have had stability up top and stability at quarterback for a few years, I think they are absolutely starting this race ahead. And when you look at New England, we all know the circumstances. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on Belichick and McDaniels to get the game plan and playbook put together for Cam Newton, because I'm just guessing he'll end up being the starting quarterback here.
Good guess.
Yeah, pretty good guess, right? Educated, I would say. But, you know, it's going to be on those guys to really kind of speed up this program and try to catch up as fast as possible, because, you know, first 6-7 weeks, if you're behind the eight ball, even with the new playoff format, you might be too deep behind before you can do anything about it.
And then I would say the other side of the ball might even, in a sneaky weird way, have as much or more pressure, because Tom Brady left, right? So theoretically, the offense of 20 years now plays in Tampa.
Right.
Right. All the production. You know, we're having these debates. Is Edelman a product of Brady? And all of this. Is McDaniels a product of Brady? The defense had some significant departures, and yet I still feel like this whole narrative is out there. They can just run the ball and play defense. You got the number one defense returning. You got the defensive player of the year returning. Yeah, maybe. Except, you know who's not returning? Jamie Collins, Kyle Van Noy, Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung. There's been significant changes on that side of the ball. And I think if they struggle, people will be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. The defense, what happened from 1 year to the next? Why is our defense not good anymore? Whereas the built-in excuse on offense slaps everybody in the face, Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think it's going to bank on the secondary, right? I mean, I think when you look at this roster defensively, it's all about the secondary. They're deep there. They're talented there. I know they lost Patrick Chung due to the COVID thing, but you know, you look at some other pieces that they have. Theoretically speaking, this secondary should be damn good, especially if you believe in the analytical world who are pumping the tires of J.C. Jackson.
Two best corners in football.
Yeah.
Just cover, baby.
They should be really good on the back end. So if they're really good on the back end, that could cover up for some of the inadequacies of the front seven. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
All right, what was the sound you wanted to play, Andy, here?
Well, we had Tom Curran discussing that he seems like he has a negative take on the early part of the season for the Patriots.
I think those teams can hit the ground running. The Patriots are going to be really behind the eight ball, and their coaching is brilliant as it is. And we can all acknowledge that. The attrition through free agency and the attrition through opt-outs is going to make it really hard for them to be a polished team before November 1st, I would think.
And if you're not a polished team, you could certainly lose to a Seattle, Kansas City.
I actually agree with him. Because of, you know, the departures, and not that Belichick isn't brilliant, he is, but you got a brand new quarterback, either way. You got a brand new quarterback. You got a bunch of guys, as you pointed out, missing on the defensive side of the ball, which was your strength a year ago. You're probably going to struggle early on.
So do you, in your mind, what are you envisioning? Now, the first month they have Seattle and Kansas City. I think both of those are
not good. Not good weeks for the Patriots.
I mean, if they Shime, win,
I might bet the under on those.
If they win those, like, that's going to be a fun recap week after that. Talk about reacting to the recency bias. Like, I think pretty much most people will assume those are losses. Correct?
Yes.
So you're already in the first month got two losses. So at best case scenario, you're saying okay, they'll go 2-2. But what to you, Dale? What would be alarming and what would be, I kind of expected this through the first 4 weeks or 8 weeks?
4 weeks, I'd say if you're 2-2, I'm going to be thrilled.
Cartwheels.
I'm.
What if you're 1-3?
I think that's likely. I do, don't you?
Okay, I kind of do. I'm just, you know, that's not likely in New England ever. I know with Bill here and Bill we trust, the greatness of Bill Belichick, right? Michael Irvin, that's still here to say 1-3. And then the 1-3 isn't Tom Brady's 1-3. And you know what? They always run the table after Thanksgiving.
Wait, so you think they'll lose to either the Dolphins or the Raiders?
They could.
At home?
They could.
Yeesh.
Yeesh is right. That's the reaction to 1-3.
Yeah,
timeout, sorry. Shime's shaking his head furiously behind the glass.
There's no chance this team loses to the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't think this team loses.
That's a joke.
What about
I don't
the Dolphins?
Think they lose to Miami or
Doubtful.
Vegas. I don't think that happens. Like, and by the way, if they go 2-2, you know, and I'm not saying either of you guys said this, but if anybody panics at 2-2, I mean, come on. You got to look at the schedule, right?
I'll be very happy at 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, you play at Seattle and at Kansas City. I think you've got to almost pencil in those as losses. I just have a tough time believing they would drop 1-2 against Miami or Vegas at home. I have a tough time believing that.
It is. I agree it's hard to envision Bill Belichick, right? That's sort of the thing, the Patriots and Bill Belichick, but there's just so much change. This is such a different season in so many ways, not just their personnel and their quarterback, but the unknown we're talking about in generalities with no preseason and no tape and no scouting. And what are you building game plans based around? I do not eliminate Dale's 1-3 start. How about through 8 games, Dale? If they are
you got to run through the schedule for me here before I. You know, I mean, it's hard for me to just
all right,
say,
so
oh, they'll be.
Week 5, they play the Broncos in New England.
Is that losable? Let's just say,
no.
Is it losable?
No.
It's losable,
it's
yes.
Definitely losable if Drew Locke can play.
But hold on. You just talked about how tough it's going to be on rookies. They're almost their entire offense at skill positions are rookies. I mean, Drew Locke played 5 games last year.
I know,
Drew
I'm
Locke
excited.
Against Drew Locke with a bunch of rookie weapons going against that secondary and Belichick's defense.
Sutton?
I don't think there's any way that Drew Locke is going to lead the Broncos into New England with that young offense after playing only 5 games at the NFL level or so.
Okay, next.
And beat
all right,
them.
So let's all right. go to the next one.
San Francisco at New England.
Mm-hmm. They lose.
Ooh,
yeah,
flat out loss?
Yeah. See, the only question I have with that one is Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Like, Belichick knows about Jimmy G. He wasn't great last year. And if you look at San Francisco's skill positions, again, you know, Deebo Samuel's hurt. He's likely not going to start this season. And you look at Emmanuel Sanders, who left for New Orleans. The cupboard's kind of bare when you look at receivers for San Fran. So George Kittle's a problem, obviously. The run scheme is obviously a problem, and Shanahan's good. But, you know, I don't know if Belichick would say, all right, we're just going to put this game on Jimmy G and try to beat our corners.
The bottom line here is that through 8 games, I've got them at 4-4 if things go well.
4-4.
4-4 if they go well.
Yeah.
I think that's I think you're feeling pretty good about yourself, because now I do think you get into that current idea where Bill has now accumulated his scouting reports on the second half of the season. Bill has an idea, okay, that rookie, he drowned. He drowned in those deep waters that were rough, but this one? I know what he can do now, so these are the pieces I can piece together over the second half of the season. I think 4-4, you're feeling good about your chances.
Yeah, and it's almost better that you have this really difficult schedule to start, right? Because we talk about the young guys, we talk about the turnover. If you started with a bunch of cupcakes, you might not know what you have. But, you know, you're starting with the Seahawks, Chiefs, 49ers, the Bills in Buffalo, the Ravens. At Houston, even though I'm not a big believer in Bill O'Brien and the Texans, but I mean, those are, when we look at the AFC, we always talk about Kansas City, Baltimore, and everybody else. I mean, you're playing a good number of good quality football teams in the first 2 months that I think will give us a really good idea as far as a barometer where this team could end up.
You know, you've got that 2-game LA road trip, which I think is going to be fascinating. I mean, what the NFL would prefer based on what we're reading is for teams to go home between games. There is no way they're coming home from LA with 4 days
no.
between the Chargers and Rams game.
No. So no. That's going to be a very trying trip based on their
very.
Logistical people
and
everything.
Keeping everybody bubbled up and safe. I mean, it is going to be, to your point, a logistical nightmare. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Stay in the locker room.
Thankfully, those teams stink.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Oh, here's the one guy who watched Hard Knocks, I guess. Because huh? Based on the initial ratings, no one did.
Am I crazy
I think,
to think?
I think Stink is strong, by the way.
I think the Chargers, if they get quarterback play, could be pretty good.
Their defense is going to be really good. They might have the best secondary. They'll battle the Patriots for best secondary in the league.
I mean, you expect them to have quarterback play?
I said if they can get quarterback play.
It's the best joke
play
you've told all day.
Wait, Tyrod Taylor took the Buffalo Bills
and then
to
he
the
stunk
playoffs
with the Browns. Okay, I'm, like, you know, putridly.
I thought
stunk.
Everybody stinks with the Browns.
Yeah, I just think when you look at that defense and you're on the road, that defense is fast. It's physical. It can get at the quarterback. You know, I agree with Shime as far as the quarterback, and I think, Andy, we all agree. We don't know between
right.
Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert, whoever gets the gig. But that defense, yeah, that defense is no joke. I think the Chargers are closer than people think. If they do have the quarterback question solved with Herbert, I mean, even offensively, Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, Mike Williams, you know, Austin Eckler in the backfield, a pretty good offensive line. That team's, you know, we should not overlook them possibly being dangerous.
High noon 30 hot take here. That's going to be the best division in football within a year.
Man, you're full of good jokes today.
Yeah, the people who want to fight me on Twitter, I'm sure. Now I'm a racist because I said that, or I'm a bad human being, or a moron, or who knows. Like, everything I've been called on Twitter today.
I didn't say those words out loud.
No,
right?
But lots of people. Hey, Dale, you have burner accounts, and we all know it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. As if I know how to do
it. One of them is apparently Evan Lazar, and you want to fight me like that.
You have gotten people a little torqued off today, haven't you?
A little bit, but I'm okay with that. I don't need people to like me.
Is Rob Bradford giving you the attaboys?
I don't know. I haven't really heard from Rob. It's kind of disappointing. You'd think all the attention I brought. Gotten a lot of DMs from random people, though.
Oh, somebody slipped into your DMs?
Sliding in?
Yeah, I wish something like that. I wish somebody was like, by the way, that was the best column ever.
You're having a pretty serious beef right now on Twitter.
Which one?
Oh,
God, he's got about seven of them going.
Oh, Evan Lazar, I think, wants to fight me.
Yeah, you and Lazar, it's getting personal. It's getting ugly.
He wants to fight me because I took offense to
yeah,
that he
we
told
all do.
Me and the station to do better. Do better. I hate that. If you're not my mother or my wife or my family member, you don't have the right to be disappointed in me, and don't freaking tell me to do better or be better. Mind your own damn business. I'm an adult and I can have an opinion.
Wow.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart and Cattles. Are we going to give away Shime's money here?
We sure are, Dale. Free money time.
By the way, let me just say this. This is a complete afterthought, but I was thinking about it. I noticed that somebody else on another radio station was stealing your shine here.
I was not happy about this, Dale.
What?
I was furious.
I noticed
speaking of feuds,
that somebody else on another radio station was suddenly touting their Russian table tennis betting prowess.
Who? Yeah, they 20-3. Don't think so.
Who
back
is it?
Off.
Who is it? Names.
No, we don't do that because I don't want to give them the oxygen. Oh. But let's just say it's
sorry,
guys,
Evan Lazar.
It's the guy, one of the guys that Nick Cattles used to work with, and let's just say this: Shime was way ahead of the Russian table tennis thing.
Like I told the people from Toronto giving me crap about saying Reamer stinks. Out of my mentions, peasants.
Peasants. Dale and Keefe with Hart and Cattles, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
Tiger Woods to have a better round two than Justin Thomas at plus 125. The Grizzlies have lost three in a row since restarting the NBA season. I expect it to be four in a row. I'm taking the Oklahoma City Thunder, laying 4.5 points
what
tonight.
Is that?
I'm taking the Canucks money line tonight. They're actually plus 105. They're up 2-1 in the series. I expect them to finish it out. Give me the Canucks over the Wild tonight.
Canucks. Got it.
We're going to Vegas. Not really. We're going to Edmonton.
Well,
we're
going to
take the over of 5.5 goals in the Golden Knights Avalanche.
Chris Shime just gives away money because he likes you. He doesn't ask anything in return. Even though some people out there have tried to steal his show, his
stealing
act,
my bits.
Terrible.
Let's be honest. It's
terrible.
Just weak.
Not cool.
I don't know why anyone would think they can bet on Russian table tennis as well as I can. I have the track record to prove it. I went 8-1 against Sergey's, just guys named Sergey. Not even just picking matches because I liked them. I picked against only guys named Sergey, and I went on an 8-0 streak and only lost once.
Look, the fact that you were doing it for literally months before they decided to climb on board the train tells you all you need to know.
Dale can make fun of you, or Dale can mock
That's my
it.
Job,
does it
for
every
God's
day.
Sake.
But,
yeah.
Hey, you're our guy, and they ain't stealing your crap.
Darn right. So, guys, the first pick this week, we're going to go across the pond a little bit here.
We're
going to go over to Europe.
Darts.
Because, as I mentioned earlier, I had a bunch of Toronto people in my mentions, so we don't want to go to Canada right now. We're going to go to Europe. We're going to go to the Champions League. We have Bayern Munich taking on FC Barcelona.
The Bundesliga.
No, it's not quite the Bundesliga, unfortunately. This is the Champions League.
He says, no, Dale.
We are, however, going to go with the Bundesliga team. Give me Bayern Munich, who is even money right now, taking on Barcelona.
The Bundesliga.
I'm so excited for this. Munich is going to walk.
Walk?
Yeah, like walk to a victory. Easy strides.
I wasn't sure. All right, now, I thought you were going to say wallop or wipe the field. Like walk.
I don't want to do anything to dim your shine here, Chris, but can you name one player on Bayern Munich?
Kaká.
I'm pretty sure Robert Lewandowski still plays for them, or is he on Borussia Dortmund?
The Bundesliga.
Might be on there. One of the I was close.
At least That's you had a name. I wouldn't have had a legitimate name.
And I weighed in with my soccer experts. They told me Bayern Munich every day and night. They didn't even know the odds. And I said, okay.
Neither did you.
There you go.
Second pick of the week, guys. We're going to go down again. I don't want to go to Toronto. We're going to Orlando. NBA bubble.
Ooh. Oh.
We have the play-in game this weekend.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
Trailblazers,
love it.
Grizzlies. If there is anyone that has been unstoppable, hotter than the sun, it's Damian Lillard.
Dame.
Give me the Trailblazers.
154 points in his last three games or something.
Shine, did you see the three he took last night from literally the logo in the fourth quarter?
He can do whatever he wants.
Four points?
I wish.
No,
make
it
10.
Globetrotters
it
is.
He can shoot from the stands at this point. Damian Lillard can do no wrong. I'm taking the Trailblazers, laying six against the Grizzlies.
Nick Cattles, quick aside here, because you're my NBA guy.
Sure.
At the very beginning of all this, wasn't Dame Lillard the guy that wasn't going to play?
He was the guy that wanted to play if they did what they ended up doing.
Okay.
He said, hey, if you give me a shot to get into the playoffs, I'm going to play.
And he backed it up. He talked the talk, and then, like good soccer teams, he walked the walk.
Yeah, let me just say this. Okay, Sunday he dropped 51, and then I think it was Tuesday night he dropped 61, and last night he was somewhere in the 40s. Dude has been on an all-time kind of heater right now.
And this came after missing.
To see him take on, is it Lakers or the one seed in the West, right?
It is, yeah. That's a dangerous matchup for the Lakers, man. Portland's no joke. They get hot. It's not just Lillard. They got McCollum, Yusuf Nurkic, and Collins down low. That team, Gary Trent Jr. shooting well, that team's legit.
So we're looking for a guy named Nurkic.
We have them slotted in as the eight already?
Well, according to my bet, Andy, they're going to win.
You guess.
The way this works, Andy, is
right,
the nine seed, which is Memphis now,
right,
they have to beat Portland twice.
Yeah.
Portland only has to beat Memphis once.
You know,
and Memphis has been not great in the bubble.
Don't have Jaren Jackson, who's like one of their best players.
So, Nick, as our NBA source here, 154 points over three games is good, right?
Yeah, I would say that's good, Dale.
Yeah, that's pretty good, yeah.
All right, boys. So, I like to consider this next couple picks as my specialty. Aside from Russian table tennis, here in North America, this is my specialty.
It's time for Puck Luck with Chris Slapshot Shine.
It's time for the hockey picks of the weekend, boys. The first pick, we're going to take the Colorado Avalanche to win in regulation. All right, so they have to win in the 60 minutes, no overtime, nothing.
You've already been burnt by this once, correct?
Yeah, but, like, Arizona's so bad.
Yeah, but.
Arizona is just not good. The Avalanche are a million times better. I really like Colorado here. I think they're just going to keep rolling. I'm going to take the Avalanche to win in regulation.
Okay.
And then the second pick.
It's time for Puck Luck with Chris Side-Nip Shine.
Is it necessary to do the open twice?
Oh, no, Nick. It's
different open.
Side-Nip instead of Slapshot.
This is my first rendezvous here with Chris Shine.
Well, it was back when the tank top was really in vogue and Shime's wardrobe selections.
Not a good look.
Yeah, it was popping out a little bit.
A little bit
of a TOS violation, but we're here.
Yeah, there were
luckily, we're not on camera.
Nipples and ugh. Can't get that out of my head.
So the second pick, as I said, I don't like Toronto because they were all up in my mentions. So we're going to stay in Edmonton. I'm going to take...
It's personal now.
It is 100% personal. I wanted to bet the Bruins game, but with... Just with the questions on Pastrnak, and I'm unsure where Tuukka's head is at.
Don't you think
I couldn't
local
do it.
Fans want to hear what Sean
yes.
thinks about the Bruins?
Yeah,
game?
But Dale, that's the thing. As a gambler, I cannot bet on a game that I don't feel confident
that's
in.
That's good. He's right.
I don't have the information yet provided to
you
me.
You have no information on Russian table tennis. It didn't stop you.
Yeah, but David Pastrnak is right. a big deal, and I know he's a big deal, so I need to know if he's going to be there or not.
He has negative information on the Bruins. He doesn't have negative information on Russian table
tennis. Well, I did have negative information on Russian table tennis. You just bet against every guy named Sergei. But we're going to go back to Edmonton here. We're going to take the Vegas Golden Knights money line versus the Blackhawks on Saturday. It's kind of... The Golden Knights are a heavy favorite, but... I am so confident that they will win here. The Golden Knights have looked great so far. The defense has been a little lackluster. A lot of goals have been scored, which is why last week we hit on their over. This week,
wait,
I have
did
them
you
to
say
win
they've
outright.
Looked great so far, and then it, without even taking a breath,
didn't even stop,
list their flaws?
Yeah,
one flaw, only one.
That's next level stuff from Shime.
Only one flaw. They're giving up a lot of goals.
No,
is that a good flaw to be betting?
Not a good thing.
Like former Bruin, though, plays for the team. I'm pretty sure Dale can correct me when I'm wrong. Riley Smith, been playing very well. So give me the Golden Knights to beat the Blackhawks on Saturday.
Riley Smith had the game winner last night.
Sure
did. Oh, look. See, Dale has information.
I just sort gave it to you that he was on the team.
You
Andy.
Said, I think. I think.
Dale
I was really hoping he wasn't
wrong.
On the Blackhawks. That's for
yes.
sure.
Good call by you.
So to recap the four picks, we got Bayern Munich, even money versus Barcelona in the Champions League. Blazers laying six against the Grizzlies tomorrow, 2:45. Avalanche in regulation over the Yotes, and Vegas Golden Knights money line versus the Blackhawks.
All right, so what's our record now, Shime, since we started doing this during the pandemic? Because there were no sports.
A long time ago before anybody else started doing it and tried to latch on.
Research team needs to jump back and check since COVID. But since the beginning of the year, since January 1st of 2020, Shime is officially 69, nice, and 45.
Nice.
Gronk is happy.
24 games over 500.
Thanks, Andy. I'm with you there. And by the way, killing Russian table tennis long before anybody else even knew about it.
That's right.
Like, this is my bread. That was my bread and butter. And, like, we have real sports now, okay? Focus on what's real. And
oh, wow. He's lashing out. He doesn't name names, but
I'm
he's still lashing out.
I'm super agitated about it. I really...
I know how that can be.
I almost pulled an Andy Hart on Twitter yesterday morning, but corralled myself, contained it, had some coffee, and moved on.
Isn't that what Twitter's for? To socially interact with others? That's what I'm doing. I'm being a social...
I like to be a positive influence on Twitter, Andy.
That's a very nice way to put it. Socially interact with others, yes.
Yeah, that'll work out well.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Chris, very much. I want to give you a quick baseball update here, okay? Because Major League Baseball has announced that the Cardinals will, in fact, be playing this weekend. Good news for St. Louis baseball fans. So listen to this. Because of all the games that they've had to have postponed, here's what the schedule is right now. The Cardinals will play 21 games in the month of August, including four doubleheaders. Wait, I'm not done. They'll play 32 games in the month of September, including seven doubleheaders.
Oh, my God.
Wow. And I'm a fan of the seven-inning games, but that seems like a bit much.
Here's the problem. Like, Rob Manfred comes out, and he says, oh, when will we – and I'm not saying they should stop playing baseball. Ken Rosenthal just tweeted out that out of the samples they took this week, it's like a 0.03% or whatever that has new positives. So, overall, they're doing good. But, you know, Manfred comes out, and he says – well, as soon as a team is competitively put at like a disadvantage, we need to look at things.
Do you think this would be it?
Exactly. Like, how can you say that and tell us that if a team is in a non-competitive kind of situation, that might be the time baseball suspends action, but you have this happening? It's insane. Insane.
They are supposed to play 11 doubleheaders the rest of the way. Four this month, seven next month. But best of luck to you. By the way, they've got a pitcher... who's supposed to go this weekend, who has not thrown in 3 weeks.
Still better than what the Red Sox have.
Well, probably. I mean, that's because he's a pitcher and not a second baseman right. or a catcher or a shortstop. So that part's actually
Yeah, Matt,
fair.
Like their pitching is going to be hellacious trying to manage that. And I know the doubleheaders are seven innings, so it's you shave a couple innings that you got to figure out here and there. But anytime there's a month with more games than days... That's not good if you're the manager.
Yeah, that's not the best thing in the world. By the way, guys, I just got a quick question for you. Let's see. Yeah. The Red Sox play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Four games. They got a four-game series against the Yankees. How many runs do the Yankees score in that four-game series?
104.
I'll take the over. TBA, not that good. TBA or TBD? Is that his official name?
Either one. I mean, TBD. They gave up 17 yesterday.
So they're due for, you know, a good performance today. Yeah, I don't think that's not how that works, Andy. That's not how any of this works.
And a quick update from Toronto, where the Bruins are at the moment on the ice for an optional practice. Optional. Among the players on the ice, there is no Tuukka Rask.
There's a surprise. The guy who doesn't care didn't show up for the optional practice.
But there's no Patrice Bergeron. There's no Brad Marchand.
There goes that idea.
There is no David Pastrnak on the ice, by the way.
I don't like that.
But I found this interesting. Zdeno Chara is on the ice. The 43-year-old defenseman for the Bruins, who, if anybody ever had the right to take an optional off, it's Zdeno Chara. And he's out there on the ice right now for the Bruins.
Wiggy probably thinks that's a bad thing somehow.
Yeah, probably, because he wants him out of here anyway.
Yep.
All right, what else you got coming up next, including a Hall of Famer speaking to another Hall of Famer and making a request. That's coming up next. Dale and Keefe with Hart and Cattle Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, as always, here at the end of the program, we try to get to a couple of stories that we might have missed earlier in the show.
What else you got?
Andy, what do you got?
I don't know if you guys heard it, but there was a tremendous interview yesterday afternoon on OMF. Nothing new.
Yep.
But Keyshawn Johnson, I thought, brought some edge, some opinions. And
he likes to do that. I like listening to him.
I do, too. And he certainly, let's just say, he's bullish. He likes what Cam Newton is bringing to the Patriots. In fact, he made a statement that I think might rub some Patriots fans the wrong way if they're still Tom Brady supporters.
It's not necessarily opening up the playbook. It's giving you an opportunity to do different things.
Yeah.
Because Tom Brady certainly does things different in probably better than Cam Newton in certain situations. But I can almost guarantee you, Cam Newton does things way more superior than Tom Brady ever would. And I ain't just talking about running. I'm talking about being able to escape the pocket, being able to buy more time, all of those sort of things that is a gift that's given to him that wasn't given to Tom Brady, which is his legs and his strength and all of those sort of things.
Keyshawn, who...
Aren't those all tied to running?
Yeah, but...
Yeah. Okay.
Relax, it was good. He laughed off, by the way, the idea that there is a quarterback competition, that this is not Cam's job.
I agree with him there.
He also, in that comment, went on later to say, you can call some things that you wanted to call previously but couldn't with Tom Brady. Now
you mean
can
that pass to the quarterback thing?
Maybe. I don't know. That would also involve running, Dale, things that he can do because he can run.
I know.
But according to Keyshawn Johnson, look out, because the Patriots, Cam Newton, going to be magical.
What else you got?
What do you got, Nick?
I waited for the sound that time.
Well done, guy.
Look at you
learned.
Proud
of you, Nick.
You're not an error repeater, as Bill Belichick would say.
Thank you. I waited for the imaging. I got yelled at by Andy. I got shamed into it today. outside the box. Well, outside the box. I'm not sure if you guys watch UFC, if you pay attention to the UFC, but I had to squeeze this in selfishly because I'm a big UFC fan. Tomorrow night, likely Daniel Cormier's last fight. Heavyweight champion, championship is on the line between he and Stipe Miocic. I think Cormier is one of the best pound-for-pound fighters that we've seen in the last decade. He's been great for the sport professionally and personally. Hopefully, I hope he takes Miocic down on the mat tomorrow night and pounds him into submission. And also, by the way, tomorrow night, UFC 252, JDS versus Rozenstruik, a heavyweight knockout battle. Somebody's going to be unconscious within the first 3 minutes. And if you want to watch a UFC fight for the first time and you want to see something exciting, watch my guy Sugar Shane O'Malley tomorrow night. He is super, super exciting. So Daniel Cormier, most likely his final fight tomorrow night as he gets ready to retire for the championship of the world. I'm hoping that he accomplishes the win and walks away.
Nick, what else you got?
Hold on, Dale, wait for the imaging.
No, because I want to talk to Nick first, and then we'll do it.
Sure.
As somebody who doesn't watch UFC as much as you do, Do you think that Fight Island has been a rousing success?
I do. Yeah, I think it's. I think they've done overall, and I had my questions because Dana White has been known to go out there and downplay COVID-19 and all of that.
Who would do that?
Totally. But this was at the, this was also at the very beginning. But there were some questions of how seriously Dana would take this. The UFC has done a terrific job from really the beginning until this point tomorrow night. And I think Fight Island went well. And as a matter of fact, I guess they talked about going back there soon. So, yeah, I think they did a tremendous job with Fight Island. And it's for me as a fight fan, when nothing was going on, it did bring some kind of normalcy to my life to be able to sit down on a Saturday night, drink some beer, and watch some fights. So I think they helped a lot of people as well.
See what happens when you respect the coronavirus but don't fear it?
UFC. What else you got?
Don't worry, we'll be ripping you the rest of the week anyway. All right, so this is not a political segment that we're going to do here, but it is a sports segment because you're talking about a Hall of Famer. You got one Hall of Famer reaching out to another Hall of Famer. And you would think that a Hall of Famer reaching out to another Hall of Famer would carry extra weight, especially when the Hall of Famer who's doing the reaching out is WWE Hall of Famer Mick Foley.
Hello, Mr. President. This is your fellow WWE Class of 2013 Hall of Fame inductee, Mick Foley, wondering if you could please stop the birther bull. Yeah, it makes all of us look bad. All right, thanks a lot. Have a nice day.
Ooh, have God, a nice day.
I love... Well, that's his...
No, I know. I like it. I like how he did that. Subtly.
I love Mick Foley, and he occasionally will post some things that are fun and good for Mick.
Did he have sweatpants on in that?
Well, they only showed him from the waist up. I almost guarantee he did have sweatpants on.
Dale, I feel like you and I could have some epic professional wrestling conversations.
Oh, yes.
Why don't you do that on your own time?
No. When we work again sometime in the future, I've got some friends in the business. I kind of enjoy the back and forth, so we will do that next time, okay, Nick?
Yeah, I'm a diehard. I'm not afraid to admit it. Diehard fan.
It was fun working with you the last couple of days. As I said yesterday, I'm a fan of your work anyway. Listen to you when you're on the station, nights, weekends, whenever that is, and I enjoyed spending the last couple of days with you.
Well, thanks. I want to thank you guys, though. I did hit up your inbox there for all of you guys. But publicly let you know, thanks. I mean, from Shime to Nick behind the scenes to Andy, who I work with on Saturdays, including tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., and of course you, Dale. You guys have made me feel comfortable. I feel like I fit in, so thanks.
You going to cry? And, you guys done making out here?
I'm going to go drink, actually.
And okay, Andy, let me just add about you as well. You were there. We got to get out of here.
Screw you for the second straight day, Dale.
We got to get out of here. OMF is coming up next. You guys enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.